This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. We're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
We're back after a hiatus.
I know, it's been so long. I felt like, honestly, like I did that opening wrong somehow.
Because what?
I felt in my head about it.
You were gone for Labor Day, yes?
Yeah.
And then I was in Toronto, and then you were in D.C., And then now. Were you doing anything political in DC, or you were just visiting your sister?
I was attending the Weezer concert, so I don't know.
Political.
I mean, I checked my voting registration while there, but I don't think that counts. So
okay,
a political trip.
Was Weezer good? Why were you seeing Weezer?
Weezer
is this a personal question?
Older brother. Is like a huge
is
Weezer
in Weezer.
Fan. He's in Weezer, basically. He's the type, right? Like a bearded white dude in his late 30s. Like, I think that's who I was surrounded by at this event. I didn't love the vibes, but the concert was generally fun. I felt too old in some ways. I was annoyed by how sweaty people were touching me, and like I was annoyed by how late it was. Old.
The demographic at the Weezer concert was younger than you? Or you just
felt
old?
I just didn't like concerts. I guess anymore. You're right. I was the right age group, but my body was not having it. I didn't have the same enthusiasm I have at other concerts, let's say. But it was fun. And it was really fun to tag along with my little sister and brother, because like that was the music of my childhood because of him. He would drive us to our after school functions, and we would just be listening to Weezer the whole time. So yeah, it was nice. It was a really fun trip. And I was just really tired by the end of it because I'm an old lady.
Interesting. Okay. Well, good to know.
But yeah, no, it was great. Weezer. I wasn't necessarily the target audience, but I had a good time. Yeah, different vibes than the last concert I attended, but for sure.
What was the last concert? Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the Weezer's probably bigger, crazier fans, more outfits. Did you get any friendship bracelets at Weezer? Were there any friendship bracelets to be seen?
No, there weren't. And I brought earplugs because I take care of my hearing these days, but I lost them, so.
Oh. I'm like, I should probably be taking better care of my hearing these days. Speaking of hearing, this is a side tangent. I got a letter in the mail that was like, hey, your driver's license is up for renewal, so you have to renew. And they're like, oh, if you already have the real ID, you can renew it online. I was like, great, perfect, did that. They're like, oh, you have to do a vision test. And I was like, this is annoying. I'm going to have to go to a doctor, or I'm going to have to like go into the DMV. They're like, no, there's whole organizations that do vision tests via Zoom specifically for driver's licenses. So today I had a virtual visit that cost me $50 that maybe took 2 minutes, where some man popped up on Zoom. I had to back up across the room, read like 5 lines of a vision chart, and then that was it. And I was like, this is crazy. And like, it must have come up from COVID, I imagine. Like, that's why they're doing this now. But I'm like, this is I want to do an interview with the person whose job it is to just sit on the computer all day and deliver like mediocre vision tests to hundreds of people. Because it is wild.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the DMV vision test is like nothing. I could literally not wear my contacts and still pass. You know, it's just like, do you see a glowing red light? Then you're good to go. You know?
Right. Yeah. That's what I feel. 100%. But it was kind of crazy.
Honestly, it's almost like all vision should be online if I think about it. I mean, aside from maybe like an annual, like make sure you don't have some disease rot in your eyeball. I feel like I could get on board with that. Like, if I'm ordering glasses, I should just be able to, like,
you chat heard it GPT, here first, like, my folks. Eye vision. Shelby wants to take jobs away from optometrists, give them to AI. Would love an AI eye doctor. That's what she wants. That's the future. The liberal Americas want. They're taking jobs away from humans.
I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I am.
AI is coming over the border. I feel like from Mexico. I feel like eating dogs.
I feel like we honestly, Matthew, honestly, I feel like we took our hiatus at the wrong time because there was so much news.
And but now there's like none.
Now there's none. We're being now punished.
The only news is that Chapel Roan isn't voting and that Janet Jackson.
That's a fake story, Matthew. It's irresponsible for you Kamala and your little ex-heads.
Is not black.
It's just like annoying to me. Honestly, Matthew, I have that story in my notes and my headline is like, why can't people read anymore? Like, it's okay, just
well,
like,
it's well, give us the me. Give us the scoop. Give us the scoop then.
Well, Chapel Roan, love her. Adore her, want to be her. She has been outspoken as a political force throughout her shows. Like, she's talked about things. She's called out like the continued assault on Gaza, like all of it. So she anyone
called out
who's
people
like
in the VIP not dancing
where she stands. Yeah, it's just like it's just silly. But she had a cover story with I don't know Billboard or something, and they asked her like, "Oh, who are you? Who are you supporting in this election?" And she was like, okay. She said that she was like, both parties have issues. And like, I think people should talk about it, think about it, and really come to, you know, I don't want to endorse someone because there's problems on both sides. I encourage people to use your critical thinking skills, use your vote, vote small, vote for what's going on in your city. Queen behavior. But little Twitter heads took this quote and were like, oh my gosh, she's a fake gay. Like, if she really thinks that both sides have problems, oh, such a lazy argument. Ignoring the fact that literally the next paragraph of that quote is that she's like, but yeah, I'm gonna vote for Kamala. I'm glad that I get to see a woman of color run for president and I hope she wins. But like, it's a problem. Like, it's a both sides issue. And I think, honestly, we should all be honest with ourselves and admit that, yeah, the two-party system is broken and annoying as fuck, and I hate it all. So Chapel was like my queen. And yet everyone turned this into some sort of like, oh, she's ambivalent. Oh, she's apolitical. Oh, she's such a fake. She's a poser. She's not being like, she doesn't realize what's on the line. And it's like, I think Chapel Roan has proved again and again how clearly invested she is in the political system and how well-versed she is in the issues at hand. So I don't want to hear it, is what I'm saying. From you.
I mean, I love the two-party system. I adore
in the black and white, good versus evil, blue versus red of it all.
No, okay, well, this is interesting that I feel like this does happen fairly often where something gets quoted and then you actually read the story and it's like, oh, wait, that isn't what the person was saying.
Yes.
Shame on journalists. This is actually probably what Civil War was talking about and how bad journalism is for coming up with these headlines. I mean, I do think that there is I think that the issue sort of comes from there is like a type of person who we've all talked to at parties who has like become so jaded with like politics and things that they've sort of given up on stuff. And so I think that people's frustration with that type of person seems to have spilled over onto Chapel Roan, who has already not necessarily in a great press cycle between the yelling at the photographer and whatever. Like, and all of those things, you know, perhaps like she's being painted more worse than she should, but like just like in a objectively speaking, from like a PR point of view, she's like not at her best.
Cycle.
She's doing better than Katy Perry.
Well, yeah,
But
well, exactly. It's like, that's what's annoying. It's like, I get pushing Taylor because I literally did not know where Taylor would vote. Like, I was like, right. I don't know what her vibe is. She seems totally disconnected. But Chapel Roan is someone who has legitimately been like standing up for the LGBTQ community, the drag community. She literally turned down performing at the White House explicitly because she disagreed with their politics around Gaza. And so it's like, I just think it's like this sort of rage baity reaction trended news cycle we've gotten ourselves into is like really lazy in itself, because Chapel Roan isn't the person you should be worried about. Like, she's not like Pharrell, who's like, I just think artists should stay out of politics. Like, it's like, no, it's like she's already voiced so clearly who she is and where she stands that I think it's also like props to her for having the courage to be like, this system sucks, and I honestly don't feel like endorsement is enough. So anyone who like sees that headline and immediately decides to tweet like, oh, she's a fake lesbian, oh, she's an embarrassment to lesbians, oh, you've been like borrowing from drag and now you're just avoiding any sort of responsibility to that community. It's just lazy. It's unfair to the person she's at least touted herself to be over the last year. So that's my rant for the week. I don't think I have another one in store.
Oh, okay. Well, not to change the topic, but you mentioned Pharrell, and I just would like to say that there's this Pharrell biopic coming out, the one that's where it's all made of Legos somehow. It's like an animated movie that's Legos, but it's based on Pharrell. I have never got so many PR emails about a movie. Like, the people who are promoting this are desperate for anyone to see it and do write coverage on it, and I feel like there is not a soul in the world who cares about this movie. It's so bizarre because it's like people who would like a Lego movie are children and don't want to watch a Pharrell biopic. People who would be interested in a Pharrell biopic maybe like aren't necessarily in the market for a Lego movie. I don't think that the general population necessarily wants either of those things separately, let alone together. It's just sort of inexplicable as to why this is happening, and I can't imagine that it's going to do well. And I sort of have, I'm going to take glee in it going poorly. But in addition to that, have you heard about this movie Better Man that's coming out? This was sort of like not the talk of Toronto, but then it turned out to be the talk of Toronto and the talk after Toronto, I feel like. So there's this musician named Robbie Williams. Do you know who this is? Robbie Williams?
No.
He's apparently like a pop star, I guess, like from the 80s maybe, but mostly he's popular in Australia and the UK. Like, I don't think he's a really big hit in the US. So festival season's coming around. There's this movie called Better Man. It's a Robbie Williams biopic. People are, you know, talking about it generally in the way that people do about biopics. Like, oh, like maybe it'll be a big deal, whatever. But it's sort of confusing because it's like, oh, Robbie Williams is going to be playing himself in the biopic. And it's like, okay, well, he's like now a grown adult. So how exactly is this going to work? Are they going to like de-age him? What's going on? But again, Robbie Williams isn't that popular in the U.S., so it's kind of like nobody's really paying that much attention to this movie. There's not a trailer. We just know that it's going to be a TIFF. I got like an email about it or something, and I was kind of like, yeah, like this, like I don't love music biopics. I'm not going to go see this. So the festival is going on, and all of a sudden I start hearing from people, did you hear about the movie with the monkey? And I'm like, what movie with the monkey? They're like, Better Man. I'm like, wait, the Robbie Williams biopic? They're like, yeah, it stars a monkey. And it's like, what? Oh, wow. Somehow or another, the Robbie Williams biopic, because of a quote that Robbie Williams said where he's like, oh, I feel like a monkey on stage, they have him voicing a CGI Planet of the Apes-esque monkey that is playing him in the entire biopic. But they did not advertise this at all before the festival. So no one went and saw this movie. And then the like five people who did see this movie then had to explain to everybody else what it was about. And everyone was like, wait, maybe I would have gone and seen this because it seems deranged, but there were no screenings left. And so there's just that's this random musical biopic starring a Planet of the Apes monkey that is coming out later this year about an Australian pop star. And I'm like, this is intriguing. Okay.
That's, you guys all judged it and now you're missing out. Okay. That's just embarrassing for you.
I mean,
but honestly, I love that. I don't understand why Pharrell is at the point in his life where he needs a biopic. I literally only know him because of Happiness. So I don't know what fertile ground there is to farm there, but I did like the idea of it being a Lego movie because that's just so weird and quirky that I like respect the swing. And this even more so. I like the dedication to a bit, to a metaphor, to a, you know, a simile, as you will. I honestly, yeah, I like that. I think people should be more weird. So I appreciate that.
What
I mean, is it good?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
But was the vibe good?
Oh, I mean, people, I think, were mostly like, it was kind of crazy because it was a very straightforward music biopic, but in every scene, it was a monkey instead of a person.
Fascinating. Well, color me intrigued, honestly.
I know. Well, and same. I'm like, I do kind of want to watch it now. And maybe the music's good.
If Katy Perry had a docuseries about her, what would be her shtick? What would be her spin?
She'd be played by a plastic bag floating through the wind. Or maybe she'd be played by Dr. Luke.
I think it would be a puppet. I think it would be a movie, like a puppet movie, like Fantastic Mr. Fox, like, but a Katy Perry biopic.
Interesting.
I think that's a good idea. I think that has something to say about the absurd productization of her as a pop star and sort of her fading glory as a sad little puppet.
Absolutely love how poorly this has gone. Like, I don't want to root negatively for somebody, but it is just like, she, by pairing herself with Dr. Luke, it's like automatically everybody was ready to not like this. Mm-hmm. And then it's been bad in every single possible way. Mm-hmm. And every interview, every video, every song, every part of the release structure has just made it worse. And because she's using the old fashioned release structure, it has been spread out over months now, where it's like every couple weeks we just get a somehow worse piece of information or worse song or worse movie. Like, it is, like, it should be studied how badly this is going. And I mean
it seems pretty clear. It's like this sort of desperation pick me girl just amplified. But I honestly haven't even listened to it. Like, I didn't know it came out. I haven't seen anyone talk about it, even like hating on it, except for the first single. I didn't even realize she'd had a second single that like didn't even cross the Billboard
Top 100. Oh, Lifelines, Lifetimes, something. Yeah, I'm a Love You Lifetimes.
Have you listened to any of it? Is it as bad as it feels, or did you?
Yeah,
just not
I listened
even
to
engage?
The. I listened. Well, I mean, I've listened to like the singles that were released before, and then I listened to the song that had Kim Petras on it because I felt that I
she
owed Kim at least that, and it was also terrible. But Kim is not great at like really discerning what good music is. I think sometimes she's a little bit more scattershot of an artist. Like, if you throw enough things at the wall, like something will stick perhaps. And I think this was a flop. So
well, what's so funny is Rolling Stone released their review at 2 stars, like, and then immediately deleted it and reposted it as a 1.5 star. Like, even they were like, you know what? No, I was too generous. 2 stars is giving too much. They called it as dated as a vine, which honestly, I respect the reference.
I would take a vine.
Deep. Yeah. Yeah, no, everything, like, you know, I think the discourse around like the whole Blake Lively of it all, where everyone's piling on is like, this is the worst person alive. And like, she went into hiding and blah, blah, blah. It's interesting when something like this happens and it's like almost like too, it's almost too cringy.
Oh my
to,
gosh, the dog. This is so embarrassing. Shelby, you're ruining the podcast. People are trying to listen.
I guess she's
and
like
your
a real
animal is going
like a
crazy.
Katy Perry fan, I guess.
A kitty cat. A Katy cat. A Katy cat dog.
No, it's just I think it's funny how little impact Katy Perry's badness has on people at this stage. Like, that in itself is more eviscerating than some of these pylons we've seen in past pop culture moments. Like, it's like she's just so over and done that it's like no one's even having fun tearing her apart, you know?
Well, I think it is fun, but it's like fun in a different way, in that with somebody like Blake Lively, or I think, you know, with like Taylor Swift in previous iterations, it's like they're on top, and so there is a certain level of glee in like ripping them down from the top slot. But Katy Perry is like not on top, like she's at the bottom coming in trying to launch a comeback. And so I think there's something sort of entertaining about just like how badly it's going when it was already bad to begin with. And so there's less of like there's less of sort of a hunger of like, we gotta ruin her because she's already not like popular or famous enough anymore. Where the Blake Lively thing, I think there's, because it's like, oh, she was in this big movie and she's dating this guy who is, or married to this guy who's in another big movie and whatever, that there's like more of a, okay, we got to teach them a lesson.
So you like, agree. You agree that maybe the Blake Lively thing was less about her badness and more about the
well, I think to some people,
the glee. Yes. The fire inside us all to see women rot and beg.
To me, I like to see rich people doing bad things get punished, no matter who they are. As long as they aren't a smattering of like 10 people that I'm obsessed with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And
I mean,
even then, I will say.
You should turn that energy to Elon Musk or...
Oh, well, I mean, I do have that energy for Elon Musk. Pitt.
Are you going to avoid the Brad Pitt movies coming out? Or
well, I haven't seen it. The one that's going that was supposed to go to theaters, Wolves, and then went straight to Apple TV Plus. Yes, I have not watched that. And I sort of kind of doubt that I will, because it's busy now. It's New York Film Festival. And I can't imagine that come like November, I'm going to be like, you know what I missed 2 months ago when no one was talking about, but I feel like watching Wolves exclusively on Apple TV Plus. So I kind of doubt it. Did you see?
Well, did you see Hayden Panettiere? She's
back.
Her comeback. Well, so she has a new movie coming out called like.
I can't imagine this is
good. Emergency call or something like dial 911 or. I don't know. It seems like
dial M for murder.
Yeah, bread and butter sort of films about being a. I don't know. But the point is that she was on People magazine's cover and they did an interview with her. And it was like, you know, she's had a rough few years. Like her little brother just died last year out of like a surprise undiagnosed heart condition. And that really sent her in a tailspin. And that was after her issues with like substance and alcohol abuse that led to her child, like losing custody of her child and her child moving full time to her ex-husband in Ukraine. And so she hasn't really been seen or anything. She does this cover story. She's being interviewed and asked.
You mean the movie Amber Alert that's coming out?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah.
Where she plays a character named Jack, spelled J-A-Q?
Yeah, that's cute. Probably short for Jacqueline. Okay.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But anyways, she does this interview. It goes viral online and suddenly all these like keyboard enthusiasts are like, oh my gosh, she's totally high. She's totally drunk. She must be on something. She looks completely like out of it on this call. Like, and it's just like the news becomes less about, oh, she responds to these questions and more, she looks bad doing it. And so then she had to come out and be like, whoa, this is like really triggering for me to see you guys just demand answers like, yes, I am being treated and maybe I'm on medication, maybe I'm not, but it's not your business. And she just calls out this sort of like greedy picking apart of how grief looks on her. And like, she calls out the toxicity of social media and the clickbait news cycle. And it's just like, yeah, I just feel like we get into these circles where we want to be the one to like crack the conspiracy or like prove a point, and it always comes at the cost of someone else. And I just think it's, you know, we're always talking about like, oh, I should have known better. Like, oh, you never know what someone's going through. And yet poor little Hayden is like answering questions about how she hasn't seen her daughter in like 2 years, and her best friend slash little brother died and left her feeling bereft and alone over the last year. And everyone's like deciding she's slurring her speech and isn't doing well, and she must be high on drugs. And it's just like, I think it circles back to that point earlier, that my first rant, where you just have to calm down and like take a minute and think, maybe I don't need to be the one to puzzle out exactly what's going on in this person that I think I know so well, you know?
Well, famously, you need to calm down, as a great wise sage yes. once.
Yeah,
wrote.
Exactly. Say it in a tweet. That's a cop out. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
That's so true. That's Queen. So true. Yes.
Women are powerful and strong. Katy Perry, 2024. Okay. We right. can be tough and slur our speech sometimes. Yeah.
Who among us hasn't slurred our speech in an interview?
Literally half of the episodes we've recorded, I probably sound high and or drunk. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah. It's and the fine. Dog, definitely.
And the dog in the back. Is wreaking havoc in my life. Oh, wait. I have to tell you this last story, unless you have one.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean, I was just going to bring up the fact that apparently Disney made Inside Out less gay. They were going to make the girl more of lesbian, and then they had to cut it back. But anyways, that's sort of the extent
Disney.
Of what's the other
At least
story.
We have Agatha and her witches.
Yes, I'm excited to start watching that.
Yeah, no, it feels gay, but I'm like sitting here wondering how gay they'll make it, because again, it's Disney and I don't trust
them. Well, they put Patti LuPone in it, and that's yeah. pretty gay. So
in Aubrey Plaza in Catherine Hall, like it's like it's giving... Yeah.
There's, and the guy from sexual Heartstopper, I think.
Yeah, I don't know him, but he's cute. He's like scale certified gay. He has a boyfriend.
Yes.
As seen on his yes. caller ID at one
oh.
point.
Oh, okay. So. Well.
Anyways,
everybody has a boyfriend these days. That's me. Whatever. Okay, what was your story?
Okay, so I'll catch you up really fast, because I don't remember if we talked about it at all, but The Bachelor, okay. The Bachelorette ended. And
yes.
Jen chose her. Did I tell you? Did I bring this up on the last one?
I feel
How
like I remember something about The Bachelor.
In real time?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she was yeah, like yeah. sitting next to him, and he was like, they made her watch it, and then they made her watch her proposal after.
Right.
Anyways, yes. a huge mess. But so the ex-boyfriend, Devin, he decides to post their entire text chain. Did I go through that?
No, I don't think we've gotten to this.
No. Oh my God. So he's like, he feels like Jen was unfair to him and painted him as this like ghoster who never loved her and didn't show up for her as soon as the show was over. But he decides the best way to clear his name is to release their entire text history. Like, he just screen records and just shares every single text. Like, I'm not joking. Every single text. Like, there's sex in there that she sent him.
I'm going to do that
conversations.
With you.
What?
I said, I'm going to do that with you.
Oh, you're going to do that with me? No.
Audience.
No, please.
Yes, just every text Shelby's ever sent me.
Okay. But anyways, he does this. It's like everyone's immediately like, wow, that's inappropriate, because it's like, you know, it's just an invasion of privacy. It's a betrayal of trust. Like, it seems like it should
right,
be
yeah.
illegal, like to just be able to be like, see, here's everything. We were both a little crazy, like whatever. But then it turns out he had a restraining order put against him by his last ex-girlfriend, and it had been sealed or whatever. But it was pretty easy to like pull up that there had been this issue, and then it was leaked, or like it was revealed, the court documents got released somehow, I don't know, but it turns out that he had been physically and verbally abusive to his ex-girlfriend, to the point of like trying to choke her out at a stadium.
How are the producers of the show not figuring this out?
Exactly. It's wild.
Who's vetting these people?
Like, literally, their only response was like, our thorough screening process just didn't pull this up this one time. And it's like, if I can find it, if someone like me can just find it online, then it's like, you should be able to find this online, you know?
Right.
And it's like, they haven't apologized to Jen. They haven't made any like promise to change their vetting program or whatever. And so he has this like whole crisis PR team on his side now. And he's like, well, it wasn't that deep. Like, you know, oh, it was all a lie. We settled out of court, like blah, blah, blah. I'm a good person. And so now she, his ex-girlfriend, is like being forced to come out and be like, well, no, actually this did happen. And like, you can't pretend it didn't. And so she's being re-traumatized. Jen is being like forced to like face these, you know, interview questions on Dancing with the Stars. And it's just like the Bachelor producers are nowhere to be seen. It's absolutely wild. So that was the straw for me. I don't think I'll go back.
To The Bachelor? You're not going to watch The Golden Bachelorette now?
No, because then it came out that one of her contestants had a restraining order against him, too. They're doing a terrible job.
And it's also like, absolutely, I don't think horrendous. I've ever, like, I don't think I've ever known anyone who's had a restraining order against him. At least not that I've been aware of. Like, how are they finding these people? Like, it's not like, oh, well, 50% of the population's had restraining orders put against them. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But I guess maybe if you're desperate to get on reality TV, then that makes sense that you would have that kind of personality. But then the, like, crazy.
The audacity of these men to think, oh, probably no one will find out, it's fine. Like, it's like, what are you that's thinking? Called narcissism. Like, what's your thought process? Yeah. They're like, yeah, I'll roll the dice on this. It's
absolutely deranged.
Or I'll just get famous. Yeah. So that's the Bachelor recap.
Okay. Well, shall we do Love It or Hate It then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Questions. Well, I can go first because I was going to bring up Agatha all along anyways. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes.
I won't talk a lot about it because I think we'll try to do an episode when the series ends.
Yes.
But I do have to say that I think it's really good, really refreshing. I think Katherine Hahn is just such a delight to watch always. It's kind of quirky. Like, the whole first episode is set up like a true crime series. Like, it's literally like scene for scene, almost exactly like Mayor of Easttown.
Is it a prequel?
No, it takes place after
WandaVision.
No, it's after, because at the end of WandaVision, she loses all her powers and then is like locked into the body of a person who doesn't know she was a historic witch. So she's just like a townsperson in Easttown, and so this picks up after Wanda dies in Doctor Strange, and so that's. Like,
wait, Wanda died in Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I remember she, like, I don't know, kills herself or is buried under the rubble of her own hubris or something stupid. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that because I forgot that she was turned out to be the bad guy of that.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, wants her your children mom, or whatever. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So dumb. So, anyways, I think this show is a nice, you know, one, because it is not previous, like this isn't a story that they're adapting from comics. Like, Agatha wasn't an actual character that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. It's just that she was so beloved in WandaVision that they decided to do this spinoff. And like we said, it has a very quirky cast and it's a little spooky. It's the perfect like fall, you know, show to lean into. Very fun. There's a musical number already that's stuck in my head. So I've enjoyed it. And I think I haven't enjoyed a Marvel show since WandaVision, probably. So,
well, I haven't watched one, them, and hopefully they let it get really gay. Since then. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it because I did love WandaVision, and this looks like it's a fun time. And everything I've mm-hmm. seen about it is that it's getting good reviews and such. And I love the cast. Mm-hmm. So, well, because Patti LuPone and Aubrey Plaza are like roommates now, or were at a certain period, like after filming, that Aubrey Plaza was like doing a play or something and was like living in Patti LuPone's apartment with her. I was like, oh, wait, I love this energy. Like, I can only imagine. And Patti LuPone hates most people. So I think it's so funny that the two of them like get along.
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to talk about The Substance, which I feel like is the talk of Twitter at the moment, but Shelby did not want to see it because it is fairly gruesome. And this is a movie. It was out at Cannes earlier this year, and like now I think it's just coming to theaters. It stars Demi Moore. She is sort of, I mean, not playing herself, but playing like a character that's sort of like her, like this actress who won an Academy Award at one point when she was much younger. Now she is doing sort of like workout videos in her like 50s, and they tell her that she's being replaced by a new, younger, hotter person to do the workout videos, and she's really upset. And she gets a mysterious phone call from people telling her that she can sign up for this drug called The Substance that will somehow sort of keep her young. And it's kind of nebulous as to what that means, but she's so desperate to, you know, not fade away into irrelevance that she takes this medication, which leads to all kinds of sort of terrifying things happening to her and her body. And Margaret Qualley plays sort of the younger, hotter version of her that comes along with the drug side effects. I think the movie's really interesting. It's very gory, but the third act of it, like, is absolutely insane. Like, just completely, completely, completely deranged in a way that I don't think, like, anyone, like, you can't predict or think. It's just, like, so bafflingly bizarre. And some people really like that. For me, I felt like the first half, like, it wasn't necessarily, like, serious. It's very, like, satirical, but was at least, like, somewhat in the realm of normalness. And then you get into the end and it was like, what is going on here? Like, we have, like, gone off into a different plane of a movie. And so it was hard for me to sort of, like, stick with it once it ventured off. But people have been loving it online, and it's been getting crazy good reviews. If you can tolerate sort of, you know, cutting yourself open and another body coming out of you and sewing and all just kind of gross nastiness, then I think it is a movie that's worth watching. There was actually a separate movie at Toronto, because this was at TIFF, but so was this movie called The Shell, which is sort of like almost the exact same movie, except for it stars Elizabeth Moss and Kate Hudson, where Kate Hudson's like a beauty supply person and Elizabeth Moss like takes a weird drug to try to stay young and beautiful. Yeah, so there's clearly like something in the water about like...
Yeah, it's called Female Rage. It's like, we're burning shit down. We're sick of it.
Well, I was going to say about like sort of the toxic beauty industry, but also Female Rage. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that too. It's all intertwined.
It's all connected.
Did you like The Shell?
Well, I like The Shell more because I think The Shell is like goofier. It's not a, like, The Shell is a little bit more of a comedy and less horror than this was. But I sort of think The Shell isn't as good of a movie necessarily, if that makes sense.
Right. No, that does.
It just like tracked with my sense of humor more, I think, than this one did. But there's all these memes about Demi Moore's like yellow coat in the movie, because that's really pretty. Also, The Substance is basically the same color as Brat Green. So I think there's some sort of, there's something there going on as well with the chartreuse. Like, big chartreuse is definitely like pumping ad dollars into products around the world at the moment. So, yeah, if you're looking for a horror movie, I guess you can watch The Substance and then go home and watch Agatha All Along, which is a little bit cozier.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. I mean, I feel like I get The Substance without having to see it. You know, that's what I feel like.
Did you read the like summary of what happens in it?
Yeah, exactly.
As you love to do.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, and you know, that's how I felt. I was like, okay, yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yes. As one should. We should all be aging gracefully, everybody. Like, yeah. And like, let's all accept aging. Like, us as a society, as individuals, as, you know, like, we don't need to all be looking like we're 25 forever. You know.
I don't already. And I wear earplugs to concerts, and that's
fine. Well, yeah, you barely got through Weezer.
I feel really good about it.
Somebody for the first time mentioned my gray hairs a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, so we're now at this stage of life, I guess. Like here we go. In a
complimentary way, at least.
I mean, like, yes, but it was kind of like, you know, I feel like you, like when you have like a couple of gray hairs or whatever, like nobody's saying like, oh, Shelby, I love your three gray hairs.
Yeah.
But then once it's like there's a section of them, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah, like,
send me a picture.
Love this.
You've just aged so much this year. I'm so sorry.
Well, yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not. Aging is beautiful. Your body's been through so much and come out.
Aging
so strong
is beautiful. Cancer, not beautiful. I think we can unanimously say that. Not great. Cancer,
yeah,
poo.
Yeah.
We can get rid of that. We should be funneling the millions of ad dollars spent into like Botox serum and stuff into finding better cures to actual like diseases.
That's beautifully said. I love that.
Yeah. And get Chapel Roan on that. She like let's give her some
cancer
talking points.
So embarrassing.
So she's embarrassing. She said supporter. I can see some good on both sides regarding cancer and not having cancer, I believe, was her actual quote in the article. Okay. Well, we will be discussing my old ass and Shelby's old ass, I guess, on the podcast on Thursday, and also the movie My Old Ass starring Aubrey Plaza. It's an Aubrey Plaza double feature this week, and I'm very excited to talk about it. And we'll have two episodes for you this week. Shocking after all of the hiatuses we've been going on. But thank you for listening. See you guys later. Bye.